Let us say praise the Lord. So once again, we will go to the throne of grace. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for blessing us to come into thy house to worship thy name. And Lord, now we're here to hear from heaven. And please, oh God, let me be used by thee. Truly, don't let it be Brenda speaking, but let me just be a channel, Lord. Bless the message. All those who hear, may they be edified. And if there's someone here tonight who does not know Jesus as his Savior and Lord, we pray that this will be the night in which he will repent and receive Christ. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. So in America, there's lots of games that are played. What do you think is the favorite game in America? What do you think?
Baseball.
Someone said football.
Baseball.
Lotto. Is that a game? Oh, no. Now it's time for me to stop asking. Amen. But there are many, many games that Americans like to watch and play, be it soccer or tennis or Monopoly or baseball, football. But the game that everyone has played one time or another is the blame game. I think everyone in the whole wide world has participated in the blame game. Some of you may have never played baseball or soccer or the lotto, but how about the blame game? In America, many play the blame game. People blaming one another for why they do what they do. People blaming different ones for why society is the way it is. You hear the blacks blaming the whites and the whites blaming the blacks, and Republicans blame the Democrats and the Democrats blame the Republicans, and the rich blame the poor and the poor blame the rich, and it goes on and on. Someone told me that when Mike Tyson was interviewed after his fight with Holyfield, the incident in which he bit a piece of Holyfield's ear off, and he played the blame game. He blamed society for why he bit off a piece of Holyfield's ear. And during the Betty Shabazz memorial service, they mention her 12-year-old grandson who's accused of setting her on fire, causing her death. And so they blamed society for this young boy setting his grandmother's apartment on fire. But again, no one wants to take responsibility for why they do what they do. And now we have so-called professionals, so-called experts, like psychologists, psychiatrists, and they will help you play the blame game. They will help you justify saying, oh, it's not your fault. The reason you are the way you are is because your parents, your father was a drunkard, or you were abused as a child, or because society didn't do you fairly. So now we have social workers and counselors and psychiatrists, a whole new profession to help everyone play the blame game. But this blame game did not start in the 90s. This blame game started all the way in the beginning. And so we're going to turn to Genesis, the third chapter, the very first verse, first book of the Bible. Genesis, the third chapter, when the blame game was first played. And we'll start reading from the first verse. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed thick leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he, God, said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. But the father of the human race and Eve, the mother of all living, there were the first to play the blame game. You see, everyone wants to pass the buck. No one wants to be held accountable for why they do what they do. But you see, Adam tried to blame Eve, and Eve tried to blame the serpent. But God found all three guilty. The reason that there are snakes today, the serpent who once walked on two legs, he was cursed because that he allowed himself to be used by the devil. And the woman, she was punished, and the man was punished. I want to stress that God will not accept our playing games. In society, we accept it. It's so easy to pass the buck, to say that the reason some people steal is because they're poor. The reason some men become homosexuals because their fathers were not in the home or their fathers were not strong men. But none of this will hold water on the day of judgment. And this is what we have to consider. This is what we always have to keep in mind. Whatever we say, whatever we do, whatever we think, God will hold us accountable for all our actions and thoughts on Judgment Day. If you will turn with me to Romans, the 14th chapter. Romans, the 14th chapter, reading at the 12th verse. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So we are accountable to God for ourselves. Now you can talk about the hypocrites that you've seen in the church. You can talk about how somebody hurt your feeling in the church. But on Judgment Day, you're going to give an account to God for yourself. For yourself. Many people are not following Jesus because of Jimmy Swaggart, because of Jim and Tammy. But you're not going to give an account to God for what Jimmy Swaggart did. You're not going to give an account to God for what Jim and Tammy did. But you will give an account to God for yourself. For yourself. Now, if you turn out to be a drunkard, and you can try to say, well, my parents introduced me to alcohol. Or Lord God, on Judgment Day, you could try to tell the Lord, well, I wanted to be popular with my friends. And all my buddies, all my friends were drinking, and that's how I got started. I didn't mean to become a drunkard, but that's how I got started. But that's not going to hold water. The Lord will not accept any excuses. Because you don't have to follow your friends. Just because your parents went astray doesn't mean you have to go astray. Because the same Jesus who saved me, who saved Brother Joey, who saved my husband, saved Miss Ayers, this same Jesus can save you. This same Jesus who delivered others from alcohol, who delivered others from drugs, others from homosexuality, can deliver you. And so this is what we are urging you to. Let Jesus deliver you from sin. Let him work a work in your life now. But you see, if you continue to play this blame game, the only thing that will happen, you'll end up in the fires of hell. It is written in Revelation 20 and 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So the Bible tells us that God is keeping records of our lives, each of us. God is a great God, a big God, that He knows the very hairs on our head are numbered. That's His greatness. And this great God who knows the very hairs on our head is keeping a record of our lives. The Bible tells us we will give an account to God even for every idle word that comes out of our mouths. And that in itself should make us slow to speak and swift to hear. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Because everything you say, God is writing down. Now, you can try to play the blame game and say, well, Lord, the reason I'm cussing is because everybody cusses. But that's not true either. The Christians do not curse. And God will give you the Holy Spirit. So even though you might hit your funny bone and you're in the room all by yourself, the only word you will say is ouch or Jesus. Even by yourself, you're not going to curse. Because God truly changed your life. He will even remove the profanity out of your lips. That's what you need to do. You need to let Jesus Christ change you, but stop trying to play the blame game because it's not going to hold water. On the day of judgment, that blame game is not going to hold water. Now, if you look to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians, in the 10th verse, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So it is Jesus who will judge the world, not Muhammad, not Krishna, not some pope, but it's Jesus who will judge the world. For we must all of us, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You see, the body, you can use your body to do good, or you can use your body to do bad. It's the same way with the tongue, with your mouth. You can use your mouth to speak wholesome things, holy things, or you can use your mouth to speak profane things, obscene things. But keep in mind, God will hold you accountable for how you use your mouth, for how you use your hands, for how you use your body. God will hold you personally accountable. A young man overheard me saying this while speaking on the street. And he asked my husband, well, why should I be held personally responsible for what I do? I didn't ask to be born into the world. But you were born into the world. And life is a gift, and you should be grateful that you have this wonderful gift called life. But nevertheless, whether you are grateful or not, once you're born into this world and know the difference between right and wrong, God holds you responsible for the choices that you made, for the way that you chose to live your life. God will hold you, each of us, personally responsible. You don't have to serve the devil. Now, Flip Wilson, some of you remember Flip Wilson dressing abomination in woman's garb, and the Bible says it's an abomination for a man to put on woman's apparel. But one time, Flip Wilson had this skit, and he played Geraldine, and his big thing was, the devil made me do it, the devil made me do it. And that's how people like to play the blame game. They're always saying, well, the devil made me do it, the devil made me do it. But you didn't have to listen to the devil. The devil really does not have power. He has influence, and he can use tricks. But real power, he doesn't have. But through trickery, through deceit, through lies, he influences people to go his way. But if you go the devil's way, you will go to hell. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And a stranger's voice they will not follow. When you truly become a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, you will not follow that devil. The devil will tell you, go into the peep show. The devil will tell you, come on, let's smoke some reefer, let's get high. That's the devil. Anytime someone tells you to do something wrong, when someone offers you a cigarette, someone offers you a drink, someone offers to do something wrong, be it fornication, sodomy, that someone is being used by the devil. But you don't have to listen to Satan. Now, if you think on Judgment Day, you can say, well, Lord, it was because of my friends, it was because of my family. Well, Lord, the devil made me do it. You won't be able to play the blame game on Judgment Day. If we look at various examples, even in the Old Testament, when God called the children of Israel out of Egypt, amen, and God sent them out, and God told them to take the promised land, Canaan. Well, before they did that, they sent out spies. And the spies saw it was a beautiful country. And it was all that God said it would be. A land flowing with milk and honey, great big gigantic grapes. But what was discouraging to at least 10 of the spies, the people who lived in Canaan, they were giants. And the children of Israel, the spies says, look, compared to them, we're like grasshoppers. We're like ants. There's no way that we can take this land. But Joshua and Caleb, they said, look, we got God on our side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? But those other 10, they raised their voices even more, and they drowned out Caleb and drowned out Joshua's voices, and they even threatened to stone them to death. They said, look, we cannot go in. And so then God stepped in, and the people's hearts were discouraged, and they would not take the promised land as God commanded them to do. So God stepped in, and he was very angry with those 10 who brought an evil report. Now, perhaps those 10 could have tried to play the blame game. They could have said, well, look, God, we just came out of slavery. And yet, you expect us to take this land where there's giants? We just came out of slavery. And you hear so many, especially black Americans, they'll use that as an excuse, playing the blame game for why perhaps they're not working, for why they're not being responsible for their children, for why they're not doing the living the life the way they should live, for why they've gotten involved in drugs, alcohol. Well, we were slaves. We were slaves in this country. Well, the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt. But God did not accept any excuses. They couldn't play the blame game. They could not play the blame game. And those 10 who brought forth the evil report were severely punished. They were cut off. So just through the scriptures, we can see that God will not accept this blame game, blaming others for why they do what they do. I'm not responsible. It's not my fault. It's the white man's fault. It's the black man's fault. I'm homeless. I got to steal. But God doesn't accept those excuses. God will not accept those excuses. In the book of Numbers, and you can read it for yourself, the 20th chapter, starting at the 7th verse, God instructed Moses to speak to the rock because he wanted to be glorified. And he told them, speak to the rock and water will come out of the rock. But Moses was a little hot-tempered and the people were getting on his nerves. And instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock twice. And the Lord God said, because you disobeyed me, because you struck the rock, you will not enter into the promised land. And Moses appealed, well, it really isn't my fault. It's the people. The people caused me to lose my temper. The people caused me to get hot-headed and to strike the rock. But God would not accept it. Moses himself, God spoke to Moses face to face, but even Moses, one of the greatest prophets ever, could not play the blame game with God. Even Moses was held responsible by God for his actions. And if God will not allow Moses to play the blame game, he's not going to give you and I that option. You see, David committed adultery. King David committed adultery. He schemed, he planned. He took another man's wife, Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. When she was found with child, to try to cover up his sin, he tried to pass it on to Uriah, but Uriah didn't cooperate, so David had Uriah killed. Now, God held King David responsible for what he did. David could have said, well, Lord, you know, I haven't been a king all my life. I was just brought up as a little shepherd boy. So you should understand. But he knew better, that he couldn't play those games. Now, we hear a lot of people. Recently, I heard of a gospel singer who was caught and admitted to committing adultery. And she talked about, well, I was abused as a child. And that's one of the now famous blame game. Well, it's not my fault because when I was a child, I was abused. When I was a child, even Joseph in the book of Genesis, Joseph, who was sold by his brothers into slavery, and one catastrophe after the next happened until the Lord did elevate him in Egypt. But Joseph could have said, well, as a child, I wasn't loved by my brethren. My own brothers hated me. My own brothers sold me into slavery. And that's why I chose not to obey the Lord. Joseph could have made excuses, but he didn't make any excuses. He stayed faithful to the Lord in spite of the fact that his brothers hated him, that his brothers were jealous of him. He didn't make any excuses. He didn't play the blame game. And I strongly suggest to anyone here this evening who's trying to play the blame game, blaming others for why they do what they do, you need to stop it right now. According to the scriptures, each of us will be held accountable for the way that we lived. Some people, they make excuses for why they're not married. I heard an elderly couple, older couple rather, say, well, they can't get married because their social security will get messed up. So they choose to live in sin. But it's still wrong. You're living in sin. It's wrong. Some who are on welfare, they said, well, we can't get married because, well, if she gets married, she's going to lose the welfare and lose her benefits, so we're going to choose to shack up. But it's wrong. And it's not going to hold any weight. It's not going to fly. It's not going to work on the day of. You don't have to do wrong. You don't have to sin. You don't have to go along with your friends or your family. Because as Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And the Lord God will give you the strength, even the endurance. They that endure unto the end shall be saved. He will give you even the endurance to make it to the end. And you got to make it to the end. Turn quickly to 2 Peter 1:10. Because so many start off, they begin this race, but they don't finish. They come up to the altar, they give their lives to Jesus, and because different incidents happen, they fall away. And if you go to them and says, what happened, brother? You were such a beautiful Christian. You were serving the Lord, coming to church, reading your Bible. What happened? And some say, well, I asked God for a job, and he didn't give me the job I wanted. Or I asked God for a spouse, and he didn't come through for me. I didn't get married. And so this is the reason I'm not serving God, because blaming God, just like Adam tried to blame God. Well, God, it's the woman you gave me. If you hadn't given me this woman, I wouldn't be messed up now. So some people try to blame God. If you didn't let me be born, I wouldn't be in this condition. But that's not going to work. But in 1 Peter, the first chapter, in the 10th verse, it says, Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. If you're diligent in your walk with Christ, you read your Bible daily, you pray daily, you go to church, you fellowship with believers, you will never fall. You will never fall. The only reason people are falling is because they're playing the blame game. The only reason people are still in sin is because they're playing the blame game. But I cannot reiterate this enough. Jesus is coming again. Not as a meek, lowly lamb, but as the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's coming back to judge the world. And all of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, right now, the righteous and the unrighteous, they're living together. But on that great day, there's going to become separation. The Lord will separate the righteous from the unrighteous, the just from the unjust, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And those who were unrighteous on earth, those who chose to disobey God, will be cast into the lake of fire, where they will be tormented day and night, forever and ever. You just don't burn up. It's not annihilation. It's not when you're dead, you're done. No, you burn. You're tormented forever. That is God's divine judgment upon all those who refuse to follow Jesus, but those who humbly repented and invited Jesus into their hearts and made the decision to serve the Lord all the days of their lives in spirit and in truth, they will be welcomed into the glories of heaven. What will you do with Jesus? On Judgment Day, you cannot play the blame game. God holds us all responsible. There's no reason for you not to receive Jesus into your heart. Jesus is offering his love to you now. But it's up to you to open up the door of your heart and let Jesus Christ come in. Everyone, please stand. We'll turn to hymn number 110. Jesus is tenderly calling. 110. And Jesus is calling you now. Stop making excuses. Stop blaming others for why you do what you do. It's not going to work on Judgment Day. Now answer the call. Come up to the altar and give your life, your all to Jesus. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love will thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, yes, tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Waiting, oh come to him now, waiting today, waiting today. Come with thy sins at his feet, lowly bow, come and no longer delay. Calling today. So before we sing the last verse, Jesus is pleading, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to Jesus now. Don't stay in sin. It's not going to work. This blame game, blaming others, it's not going to work on Judgment Day. This is the time that God is giving men and women to repent and to receive him into your hearts. So as we sing this last verse, we pray, come up to the altar, kneel at the altar, and invite Jesus into your heart as Savior and Lord. Jesus is pleading, oh, listen to his voice. Hear him today. Today, they who believe. will ask Ms. Young to close us with a word of prayer.
We thank you, Lord, for the service tonight. We thank you for thy word and the message. Again, as it's gone out, we pray, Lord, that you'll speak to everyone that's in here without thee. And each one of us as Christians, we pray, Lord, that we too will trust thee and be all that you would want us to be. You know, just what we stand in need of, each one of us. And we thank you, Lord, that you're still calling men and women, boys and girls to the Lord Jesus. And we pray that you'll undertake for the man that knelt at the altar. Lord, you know just what he stands in need of, and we pray that you'll meet that need. Speak to others, Lord. And as we leave this place, we pray that you'll protect everyone that was in service tonight. And as they go on their way, may they lift their hearts up to thee and call upon thee before it's too late. Have your way, Lord, and dismiss us with thy blessing. We thank you again for your word and the message and the messenger, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen.